Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk is one of the shows featured on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. CSNP has a lineup of rotating shows throughout the month. Mondays feature Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez, alternating weeks in English and Spanish. It can't be Tuesday without Circle Talk, and I'll continue to be the host for this show on the first and third Tuesdays of each month. Wednesdays feature Nature Spirituality with none other than Selena Fox. Are you in the mood for some magic? Then you'll want to tune in on Thursdays for Moon Magic with David and Jeanette Ewing. It is such a fun and informative lineup of shows, and I hope you try them all. Tonight, we'll be talking with Reverend Jerry Hildebrand about the Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans, or known as CUPS. Reverend Jerry Hildebrand is president of the Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans, also known as CUPS. Jerry is the principal and creative director of her own design company and marketing company, as well as adjunct professor at a local community college. She was ordained as a minister with Circle Sanctuary in Wisconsin in 2004. As a friend and member of both First Universalist Society and First Church Unitarian in Salem, Massachusetts, she has served in various roles on communities and was board co-chair at First Universalist. She was also youth program coordinator on staff at First Parish in North Andover, Massachusetts. Jerry has also been an advocate for interfaith dialogue and participation with UU Paganism and the larger pagan faith community. Reverend Jerry was an advisor for the Lady Liberty League, served as volunteer, incarcerated institutional settings, is on the Ministerial Credentialing Committee for Circle Sanctuary's Ministerial Program. She has written various articles for a variety of magazines and has been interviewed in books such as an edited edition of Drawing Down the Moon by the NPR reporter Margot Adler and People of the Earth by Ellen Evett Hopman. Jerry has presented at conferences nationally and internationally, such as the Parliament of World Religions in Barcelona, Spain, Salt Lake City, Utah, and served on the Ambassador Advisory Council for this organization. She is also presented at the Conference for Global Transformation and was co-author and editor with Reverend Shirley Rannick of the book Voices of Unitarian Universalist Pagans and Earth-Centered Spirituality, published by Skinner House Press. Jerry is not only a fellow minister, but a close friend of mine. And I know you're all going to know in a few minutes why I think she's fabulous. Welcome, Jerry.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing
awesome.
Great, and thank you, because I know you're really, really busy. Jerry's just decided to go back to school in the midst of all these different things, so we're very pleased she took time out of her super busy schedule to come and talk with us tonight.
Thanks, Deborah.
So tell the I meet so many people who, and again, I've been involved with CUPS on a local level probably for 25 years, but I meet a lot of people who have never heard of it. And I remember when I first was invited to go, people said it's at a church, and I said, a pagan at a church? What? Tell folks what CUPS is.
So CUPS is what they call a covenanting community of the Unitarian Universalist Association. So one of the things that means is that we are, the UUA used to have, so the Unitarian Universalist Association is also known as the UUA, and they used to have these organizations that that identified with UU principles and purposes, and they were called independent affiliates. So now they're what is called a covenanting community. And a covenanting community is a little, to me, it's a little bigger than an independent affiliate in that the UUA recognizes the gifts that we bring to the denomination and that we have a broader outreach and a depth to our organization such that we have a lot to contribute. So there's over 70 or 80 chapters right now of CUPS all over the country. And we've been around since 1986. And in 1987 at General Assembly for the Unitarian Universal Association, which is their great big gathering that they have, the Unitarian Universal Association sort of welcomed us. They welcomed us into the fold, so to speak. And so our purpose is we network amongst pagan-identified or earth-centered spirituality-identified UUs, of which generally the last poll that was done, like we equal about 20% of the denomination, which is pretty big.
I mean, that's
a
lot.
Yeah, and so we provide outreach for the Unitarian Universalist Association and churches around us to the broader communities in paganism nationally, internationally, and locally. Our chapters do that locally. We've been building educational materials over the years between book lists and journals and newsletters that we've created, but also with the book that Reverend Shirley Rank and I were invited to create through Skinner House Press, which is an arm of the UUA and Beacon Press, called Voices of Earth-Centered Spirituality and Paganism. And it's 23 incredible voices of people who are some of the premier voices of paganism and earth-centered spirituality in the Unitarian Universalist Association. One of those people was Margo Adler. So we have the last article ever to be published in a publication by Margo. And it was published in the UU world at one point in time about being a UU pagan and how it was juicy and rich, right? And so that publication is still in print. It's doing great. You can order it from Skinner House Press. And so that's one of the pieces that we accomplished. That was a big accomplishment because, like, the UUA had never done a book on paganism until then. We work inside of the purposes and principles of the Unitarian Universalist Association, one of which is about being in harmony with Earth and honoring, sort of the earthly realm around us. And the other one is around honoring all that is sacred around earth-centered practices. But we also work interfaith-wise, because in our denomination, you know, any Sunday in a pew, there might be a few pagans, there might be a few Christians, Jews, Hindus, you Muslims. There's a little bit of everybody. And so we walk into this beautiful interfaith setting. The gift that we bring is who we are as pagans. We bring our music and our capacity to dance and as artists and music and storytellers and ritualists to Sunday worship or to worship overall. And that is a fun thing to do because, you know, for those of you who have ever been to church, sometimes it's kind of dry and boring. But we get to liven it up through who we are with our static sense of ritual. So that's a little bit about who we are. We also support UU religious professionals, UU pagan ministers who may be going for ordination in a larger denomination, ministerial students, and all of that sort of thing. So we have a pretty big job to do.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. the church that I go to, when I first start going to it, had a very large, I would say, humanist factor.
Yep.
A lot of people identified with that, and they were looking for more reason and lecture than touchy-feely. So when I got real involved in the church, and like I said, not every, you know, for me, CUTS has come a long way as far as bridging a gap that I would say, you know, now I'm just part of the church. And like you say, I'm just one of the many faiths. At one time,
yeah.
people kind of looked at pagan and, you know, were afraid or didn't think it was real. But I remember the first time my partner and I, we hosted during the Sunday service, a Mapo dance.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, like, loved it. And I'm like, folks, this is like ritual. It's fun.
Yeah.
And it was funny. And so we will get what I call non-pagans or seekers. We will get a lot of people who come to the church will simply come to our rituals just because they think they're fun and they enjoy being with people. And so, yeah, I think it's really changed over the years. I mean, what was it like? I know in the beginning, not every congregation was welcoming to pagans. I mean, it was a hard road.
No. Yeah.
Tell us the history. It was a hard road in the beginning.
It was a hard road. I mean, I've been around since pretty much the beginning. And, I mean, so CUP started in 1986 after a group of people got together at a general assembly. And the UUA was, I mean, around Unitarian Universalism, the goddess spirituality stuff had already started to take hold because of a course called Cakes to the Queen of Heaven that Shirley Rank
right.
had written. And so women especially were kind of hungry for that earthy, earth-centered, goddess-centered spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a men's movement starting too, and they were hungry for the whole male aspect of earth-centered spirituality. So around, you know, like, probably the earliest known UU pagan worship was around 1980 at the Unitarian Universalist Association's Feminist Theology Convocation in Michigan. And
mm-hmm.
And it was a, you know, just a group of people who did a whole goddess centered thing, and Z Budapest was there, and her movies were showing. I mean, people were like really into the whole goddess centered thing. And then in 1985 in Atlanta, there were people who were interested in goddess-centered stuff more generally across all of the bandwidth of gender identities. And they were also interested in paganism and ancient religion worship. And
right.
So there was a meeting that was held at that General Assembly, and folks like Dr. Krista Landon and Reverend Michael Boblett and Leslie Phillips and Linda Pinty were all there, and they decided to start putting feelers out about, would people really be interested in this? And then in 1986 in Rochester, New York, an announcement was made that there would be a meeting of people who were pagan-identified or earth-centered identified. And there were about 25 people or so that showed up, and the outcome was that they decided they would create a network. So they created a network, and they decided to call it CUPS with a W because of the chalice.
Mm-hmm.
So then by 1987, Margot Adler had successfully completed her book as a Beacon Press author, and Beacon Press is a UU print house. They were a book,
right.
a book publisher, and they published Drawing Down the Moon. And at the same time Drawing Down the Moon got published by Beacon Press, Starhawk's book, Spiral Dance, was being published
mm-hmm.
by another publisher. We had all of a sudden these two fabulous books out there.
Right.
But Margot had become Unitarian Universalist pagan at that point, on top of being a Gardnerian priestess.
Right.
And so it was, they had such an overwhelming attendance at the first ritual they ever did, that it was just like by 1986, they were off and running, right? So they
mm-hmm.
gained independent affiliate status. They were formally recognized by the UUA. and all of that sort of stuff. And they started having gatherings once a year. Then they would meet at General Assembly every year and have ritual and meetings, and it grew. And now here we are today. So like in 1996, there was like a shift, because the organization had pretty much been being run by a small group of people. It wasn't really democratically run. And one of the principles of Unitarian Universalist Association is to honor the democratic process. So a group of members said, okay, it's time for us to be democratic. And I was part of that. It was a very spirited, let me tell you, it was a very spirited political campaign. Very, very spirited. Margot was part of it. I was part of it. There were David Pollard, who's our former executive director, was part of it. There were like a number of us who we were just like, come on, let's go. We want to support. We want to help. We want this to be like shaped as a UU organization. So it shifted, and we installed the first democratically elected board in 1996. And it was crazy. It was like really crazy time, and it was fun, and it was like pagan leaders across the country were like, what, a democratic pagan organization? Like, most of them were about consensus or leadership by personality or whatever. This was going to be democratic. Like, the members had a say.
Mm-hmm.
And we had bylaws, financial stuff together, and we created publications and all that kind of stuff. All the same things we still have in place today. And so as I remember back to that time, I so love and honor all of the folks who really stood for not just our pagan and earth-centered values, but that we could do it inside of democracy and democratic thinking. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's what has had us hold on for so long and be strong, is because our members care, our chapters care, our congregations care.
And what I think is so nice is that part of the requirement to be a CUPS group is that at least three members are also members of the church. So because I know when I first joined, we had some ruckus because the person who was basically running it at that time kind of created a church within a church, or almost like a coven. I started to go to the church, and I was discouraged from going to the church on Sunday. And so I think that's something that you see less of now, but I think that's something that was also CUPS had issues with over the years about that.
We did. You know, I think many folks thought we were kind of this haven that they could come to, and they didn't realize that there was some real structure underneath it.
Right.
And so it's known as a church within a church, which is deadly to the primary arm of a church. So say my congregation here in my city decides to have a CUPS chapter, but that chapter is only going to be run like a coven or by a cult of personality or whatever. That can draw away from the life force of the overall congregation, how earth-centered spirituality is seen on a Sunday or in its practices. It can seem manipulative. For me, it draws the life force out of the overall congregation. What I love about CUPS is that we are members of our congregations.
Right.
We contribute, we give money, we serve on committees, I mean, I was board chair of my congregation at one point. Like, who would have thought they would have put the pagan in charge of the board of a New England congregation, right? A New England puritanical style congregation.
Because isn't your church where they hung the witches?
Oh, yes. My church is... So I'm just going to tip my hand here. I live in Salem, Massachusetts.
No, and I was going to say, you've brought your church a long way.
So my church I belong to now, I used to belong to First Universalist, and they closed their doors a few years ago. But now I belong to First Church Unitarian, or First Church Salem Unitarian Universalist. And they their technical name is the First Congregational Society of Salem. So they were born out of the early Puritan church here in Salem that hung and persecuted. They hung 19 people and stoned one. So 20 people died. And so that church, the Puritan church, split at some point. And mostly because the Trinitarians and the Unitarians in Massachusetts had a bit of a thing going on. And so the Unitarians believed in universal salvation for everybody.
Right.
The Trinitarians believed in the Holy Trinity. So the Trinitarians are technically known now in Massachusetts as Congregationalists. And so in most communities in Massachusetts, there was literally a statewide vote who got the first churches. And so many towns' first churches were taken in by the Unitarians. And then some others were taken in by the Trinitarians. So we are part of the first church, and so we became Unitarian. And
that's so fascinating.
So history, right? And I mean, if you look at it, the Unitarians were really the scholars and the teachers, and the Unitarians were the fishermen and the farmers and the people of the earth. So I'm a member of First Church. It was founded in 1626.
And it's a beautiful church also.
It's gorgeous. It's a gospel church. I think this is the third building. At one point in time, there were two Unitarian and two Universalist congregations here in town in the 1800s during the Transcendentalist movement. And but here we are, right? Now we no longer have a CUPS chapter in town. I led one at First Universalist for 13 years, but it was just time to step back and take a break, and the chapter died. But chapters they support their congregations in a big way. Chapters allow, first of all, for congregations to learn the fun of earth-centered spirituality and the depth of it all. But it also allows the pagan community a way to start bridging and understanding that that old thinking patterns around the, I guess what I'm going to call the monotheistic, dyed-in-the-wool way we think about churches may not be what's necessarily accurate.
Absolutely. And I think your book really helped, because I know I've had, I'm on the CUPS board and I went to GA, and I know talking to people, especially ministers, and because I always went to a church that had a huge pagan group, I guess I assumed everybody did until I went to leadership school. And then I found out some don't. Some ministers necessarily aren't as pagan friendly as others. But a lot of ministers want pagans because they say that's the fastest growing arm of UU. is earth-centered spirituality, and it brings in young people, and it and so they're interested in learning more about it. And many people I've noticed probably in the last 5 years, a lot of churches have incorporated, you know, R8 festivals during the year. They are incorporating
yep.
more pagan-themed services throughout the year. For example, you know, at Beltane, the Maypo dance, that type of thing. So, and I think that's relatively, yeah, and I think that that's interesting that, that and again, that's why the book was excellent. And
thanks.
I think it served such a great cause because there were so many different voices. And just like, you know, there's so many different types of paganism that I think that
yep.
it really gave people more of an understanding. And so many people that I've talked to and reached out with and who've said, you know, I say, well, this is what I believe. And they're like, that's it. Well, I kind of believe that too. I go, yeah, there's nothing,
right.
unfortunately, spooky or scary. It's just a different way of looking at things. So,
you know, the two churches I've belonged to here in my city, both, so the First Universalist, we had a big brick where it's an old New England church, right? So we had a big brick front yard, pulled a brick up. We planted a hole, like a PVC pipe into the ground to set a maple
uh-huh.
in every year. So we knew where that brick was with that hole dug and that PVC pipe to set our maple into. And we danced it in the middle of our city, in the middle of that courtyard. First Church Salem, a few years ago, also dug into there. They have a beautiful garden that's circular, and there's an old millstone that has been set as an altar out there. And there is a PVC pipe dug into where the hole dug into the ground with a PVC pipe set into it for a maypole to be planted every year when it's time to do the maypole. And
that's
and
so much fun.
Circular. The garden is circular, so the children come out, people come out. We've got folks who drum or people who our organist will bring his piano, his portable piano, and play music. Like, it's just. It's really fun. It's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the music we choose to dance pole to comes
mm-hmm.
from the old red pilgrim's hymnal from
oh,
the
that's
first
fun.
Church of Salem or from the first churches, right? And that red hymnal has some beautiful, fun, raucous spring music in it that you can dance a maypole to.
That's really fun.
I know it is, you know, and that church has hosted, both churches here have hosted CUPS convocations when we've had them, where we've had 100 to 300 pagans, UU pagans here, celebrating UU paganism.
Well, I know the, and with COVID, this year's different. So I'll let you talk a little bit about that in a minute. But
uh-huh.
I know the year that I went to GA and we had ritual, you had 250, 300 people in a room
yep.
to do ritual. So, I mean,
yeah.
it is a big, big draw. So,
you know, I remember
yeah,
there was a
was
year
exciting.
When – I don't remember what year it was, but there was a year that Marco and Adler and I did the ritual for the summer solstice ritual together at General Assembly. And we had almost 1,200 people at the ritual. It was
wow.
wild. So, and this
wow.
year we did it online. So this year, because of COVID,
right.
we didn't have general, we had virtual General Assembly.
Right.
And you and our board, our board did this. We could only do a video ritual. And I'm thinking,
right.
how the hell are we going to do that? And the brilliance of our administrative person, we crafted this incredible, fun summer solstice video that has been seen by almost 600 people at this point.
Right, which is
between
fun.
The
it
people
is.
Who
it
watched
all...
it, General Assembly, and now they watch it on our YouTube channel.
Right. And it was just fun. I mean, it's really, it was really, really,
yeah.
It was really fun. So,
yeah,
that was a great, that was a fun experience. Well, something
yeah, I mean, 600 people.
When I meet them.
Wow.
I know. That's fun. And again, what I've always liked about CUP is that it exposes some, I've met so many people who were interested and maybe themselves were not interested in being earth-centered themselves, but they
right.
knew somebody who was. You know, I've had parents come up to me and talk to me, and again, I'm pretty mundane looking. Somebody once told me I wasn't very witchy. I was Mary Poppins, but I was supposed to be a crack, but I thought it was funny. But
I know I heard the same.
Know,
I heard the same thing about myself.
Yeah, who are just interested in learning about it. So other people who are pagan will come up to me and they will ask me. They're like, you know, I already belong to a coven. Can I still come to CUP? How would you answer that?
Oh, hell yeah. Like, you can come to CUP. Like, come and play and share your... It's not dogmatic. CUP is not about dogma.
Right.
That is for sure. You use are not about dogma. And so, I mean,
right.
I think anybody coming to CUP from a, from sort of a this sort of dogmatic perspective might be a little disappointed.
Absolutely.
But you need to come with, like, your heart open to the greater sense of what it is to be earth-centered. Now, there are chapters, don't get me wrong, I mean, we have chapters that are very Wicca-centric, we have chapters that are very Druidic-centric, and or more focused on a particular path, right?
Path, because that's geographical what is big in their area.
Exactly, but for the most part, CUP chapters are more eclectic and open to what it is that pulls your heart to honoring the earth as sacred. And
right.
it doesn't, it's kind of like that.
Yeah, we have a pretty thriving, pretty big CUPS group. And we have different races. We traditionally, I would say, the majority of people tended to be more Wiccan. We have Druids. We have one Santeria, but most people tend to do that because, to be honest, that's what's mostly known. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that's mostly what's known.
Sure.
But what I have found
yep.
a shift in is that I would say 10 or 15 years ago, most people, and at least in my area, were in covens or they were in a tradition and they also
yes.
came to CUP. Now I see most people don't feel the need to have a label or identify, you know, I'm Alexandrian, you know, I'm this, I'm that. They are more eclectic, which is something that I've seen a shift in. People are
or
more
they're not
eclectic.
Interested. Yeah. Or they're not interested in wearing a label on their sleeve, so to speak.
Right.
You know, the other thing I love, every shift I've seen in CUPS that I know that you and the rest of our board is thinking about is we're really thinking about sort of like how do people see us? I know there's been some stuff over the last 2 years that Om Parkesh and I have heard at General Assembly around who we welcome and who we don't welcome. And we welcome everybody. I don't care
yeah.
what your path is. Who you are,
right.
your race, your identity, whatever. And so
right.
CUPS has come out with some pretty strong statements, especially because we're UUs above everything, so we're a little radical. And
absolutely.
And we're also very clear, like, that everyone is welcome. And
absolutely.
So we've been investigating, like, what is it about the language, how do we language ourselves as pagans that may not be welcoming to folks who have different racial identities or who have different identities of any kind. And so what about who, I mean, I get it. Like, paganism can be heard as Eurocentric. If you want to hear it, it's Eurocentric. And the word, of course, the way the word is identified in dictionaries and stuff is clearly Eurocentric. But we welcome such a broad depth of people. And over
and I think
the years,
that's changing, yeah.
Yeah, and over the years, I mean, I look at some of the past speakers we've had at General Assemblies and stuff, and it has not necessarily just been Wicca-centric or white-identified or straight-identified or however you want. I may be using all the wrong language because I may be doing that, but it's like there has been a lot of speakers over the years who have just brought an incredible depth of love and message to the Earth-centered community from their perspective. And I know, as just personally, as somebody who's done a lot of interfaith work, I am very clearly a stand that we really look at the languaging of how we speak ourselves. And you know, I invite anybody who's interested in cups to share sort of that, like, what do they see is missing? Yeah, and do so in a kind and manner and such. But we've come a long ways in that. I mean, when I first joined, it was very, oh my goodness, it was very Wicca-centric or women's spirituality-centric, and there was no in-between.
Yeah. Something else that I've noticed, and again, it may just be my local area, is that many people, I've noticed that cups fills a need for many people who practice solitary, but who want some group work, or they want the ability to learn or to talk with other people. They necessarily don't necessarily want to worship or always do ritual with, you know what I mean, like a coven.
Yeah.
They really enjoy being solitary, but they really like the getting together in a group. And so, again, that's something that I realize really, really feels a need for. And I know my group and some other groups that I've talked with, you know, COVID kind of hit and people kind of, you know, can't meet in person right now and kind of put things on hold. And people are really hungry for togetherness. And so, again, many of our, and if you can go to the CUPS website, look and see if there's a chapter, but if you go to different churches and you can look, people are starting to have Zoom rituals. They're starting to have Zoom classes, and they're starting to do things because there's such a need for that community. And a lot of that is, at least in the people I talk to, our solitary practitioners have really found that is something that they really enjoy being with a group.
Yep. And one of the things we're looking at as a board is how do we have a space for our chapters to share where, you know, so when they're meeting or what they're doing. And so, you know, do we do that through Facebook? Do we do that through the website? How do we do that? Because it's a new world. And we've got so many chapters that are doing such great work. I just highly recommend people look to, like, call their UU church and say, hey, you know, I'm pagan. I would love to, like, come attend your church. I've heard great things about UUism. But do you have a CUPS chapter? And if they don't,
absolutely,
then get in there and learn about the congregation and start a CUPS chapter, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's not hard to start a CUPS chapter. You just need to get to know your congregation and participate and be, you know, be involved with it so that people trust that you're coming to this with open heart, you know.
So talk about some of the different activities. Like, for example, if someone was interested in CUPS, what might they do? For example, I know a lot of CUPS groups practice the 8 festivals a year. So they do Yule, they do Samhain, they do that, some off-site in a park, some, I know we actually meet as a church. So that is something that I would say a majority of the Cubs group, actually, that's something that they actually do.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bunch of groups that use that, I'm going to call it Wicca-centric languaging of holidays and festivals. There are some that just use more generic names. So I know when we were running rituals here in my city, we didn't use the festival. We didn't use the Wiccan festival names. We just, it's like, okay, well, technically Maybon in Wicca traditions is coming up this next weekend. We would call it fall equinox. We would say winter solstice.
Actually, we do too.
Equinox. We wouldn't have it sound closed in because there are folks who may be Native American. They may be Centurion or whatever, and they may have different languages or different names for these periods of time, and they would feel shut out. And so most folks do celebrate the, what I'm going to call the 8 holidays of the agricultural calendar. And others have, I know there's a group in Denton, Texas that is more Druidic. So they'll use the titles of the holidays for there. And,
which is fun.
So it just,
I mean, I think that's so exciting.
I know.
We have a lot of Norse groups, and I got to go, that ritual was totally different, and got to go to a bloat, and it was just so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I went to a bloat last year for the first time.
Yeah, and it was just really, exactly. So I encourage people to look and see, and they're interested in, and I've been surprised when I talk to people, and I give them, like, locations, you know, like, here's they're so surprised that they kind of live in their backyard and didn't realize that there were pagan and Cubs groups available.
Yeah. So, you know, if folks are interested in starting with Cubs chapters or starting Cubs chapters, they should just get to know their local UU congregations. And then from there, you're the membership and chapter person. So they should reach you at membership@cubs.org. And ask, how do I start a Cubs chapter? And like the things that they really need to do is have a conversation with their congregational board and worship committee and their minister and create what's known as a covenant. And a covenant is merely a promise between the two groups, the church and the chapter, on how they're going to work together. What are they going to contribute to each other? What can they count on each other for? I think sometimes people hear the word covenant or promise like it's a moral obligation of some sort, but this is great. This is how we're going to work together. And then you create like rules to which your chapter is going to abide by, whether that's bylaws or guidelines or whatever you and your congregation come up with, that becomes the sort of the basis of the workings of your chapter. And then there's, you know, of course, there's paperwork with us to fill out and all that sort of stuff. But it's not hard to start a Cubs chapter. It's a commitment. And most Cubs chapters are welcoming to everybody. Some are finding are not so good at that, and that's an old format that was allowed to happen way back when. But now Cubs chapters need to be more welcoming. They need to be welcoming to everybody, just like our congregation meetings are. Like, I can go to any UU church on a Sunday morning, and no one's going to – well, they might judge and evaluate me because they might judge and evaluate me. But I can go there. I should be able to go to any Cubs chapter in my region or in any region across the country. And sometimes when I'm traveling, like I'm from upstate New York, there's a couple Cubs chapters up there. If I really wanted to go to a Cubs chapter, all I got to do is show up, and I'll be welcome. So you know, if anyone's interested, they should just get a hold of you at membership@cups.org.
Yeah, or I say go to the CUPS website and look around and read up and kind of see. But I encourage everybody, to become a member.
Yeah, there's a whole page
have a voice.
There's a whole section on chapters and how to start a CUPS chapter.
And how to just to be a member. You do not have to belong to a chapter in order to be a member of CUPS to have your voice heard. So absolutely. It's
right.
It's really fun. You know, you were talking back. I was going to tell you, I met Margot probably about 6 or 7 years before she passed. I met her very late in life. I actually met her the first time she spoke at a UU church, and some friends of ours invited us. And so I briefly got to meet and talk with her, and then I got to know her much better. She attended several PSGs, and I didn't realize that she was a very close personal friend, not only of you, but of Selena Fox. And, I got to hear some funny Selena stories, but also, I got to, Margo had a beautiful voice, and I got to be in a singing circle at midnight under the stars with her chanting and singing, and she was a very
really,
treasure.
I mean, I think of the fabulous people that we have in leadership in our general pagan community who are also CUPS members. You know, I think of John Beckett, who is, has this fabulous Druid group in Texas at the UU church out there. You know, I mean, we've had numerous people speak at our convocations from Starhawk to Tandanka to, oh my goodness. Well, Shirley Rank she broke ground in the Unitarian Universalist Association with her Cakes to the Queen of Heaven course.
Right.
You know, and we've had, we've had some pretty, people who are fairly controversial now, but they were elders. I mean, they were, like, movers and shakers way back when, like, through Budapest. Now I know she can be quite controversial, but she was somebody who contributed a lot to the goddess
in the beginning.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And so I don't like throwing, I mean, I know, you know, our world has shifted and reshaped and our languaging of things has changed, but I really try to honor what
our
everyone
heritage.
Has contributed. Yeah, it's our heritage.
Yeah.
And, I look at who's around now, like we've had Byron Ballard speak at Convocation, we've had Jimmy Ravish. We've had, like, some great folks, and I would love to do a virtual convocation. So if anybody out there who's a CUPS member is interested in a virtual convocation, just email me, because I would love to put a team together who would do that. I think we have a lot to give. Always have. I mean, because of CUPS, our hymnal changed. Like, we added Earth-Centered Sources and pagan chants to the hymnal. Sunday mornings, it's no big deal now to hear a minister say blessed be at the end of a prayer of some sort or a reading. Our pagan culture has tiptoed its way in and anchored itself in little ways. And, you know, some pagans might think that's, like, almost blasphemy, but I think it's a good thing inside of Unitarian Universalism, given that our tradition is a more open tradition and more interfaith in its presentation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and again, another thing that I just find so interesting is that how much you and others have accomplished in a time, you know, now we have the internet and I can get on and I can talk to people all over the world, but you couldn't really do that in the 80s and early 90s.
No.
So, you know.
No,
this,
you couldn't.
You know, my partner talks about the magazine Green Egg, where you could write in a letter, and then you had to wait until 2 months later to the next issue to read the answer. I mean, it's just, you know, in this world of internet, that seems crazy. But to think how much you and everyone else accomplished in the early years when there was long distance was expensive and there was no internet and communication, you know, was not easily done. So
when things started shifting for 1996's changes, I mean, frankly, we were using telephones.
Right.
And we were using a message board sort of situation or email list. I think Yahoo had started doing email lists
chat.
About that point. Yeah.
Right.
And we would argue and we would get in each other's faces. And it was pretty interesting. I know.
But it amazes me how much was accomplished across the country at a time where there was no internet and no very easy communication.
Yeah.
So,
It's,
I mean, it's
exciting.
You know,
exciting. And I honor the folks who started this organization in the very beginning. I'm very clear what they went through. I know that any changes that ever happen inside of an organization are not easy, and they continue not to be easy. But and we've certainly had our share of stuff, but the bottom line is that the one thing I love about COPS is that we really sit and discern and talk things through.
Right.
And if we can't, then we can't, and that's kind of that.
And I think you use, as a generalization, like to read and like to learn and are all about that. So something else that I would tell our listeners is that many CUPS groups have classes, or they have discussion groups, or they have very formal classes on Druidism or astrology or things like that, to just discussion groups. And when I work with chapters, and they'll say, you know, we have ritual, you know, every 6 weeks, but, you know, every third Wednesday we meet at this coffee shop. And I think that's really nice. So I think there's a lot of things for everybody, what they're just what they're looking for. So
I love
the one
where children are welcome.
I love when children are welcome
and teens.
Yes. Again, we've went through periods of time where we had children, or we will have older teens. We've had to get people's parents' permission, but we typically, we get a lot of college students, but we had very young children. I have a pagan busy bag that I can give children, and we've had babies and ritual, and not everybody likes that. I do, but
we used to have groups of teens who were doing a program called The Church Next Door, and they were studying about various religions, and so they would go visit a mosque, or they would go visit, you know, another kind of Christian church or whatever, but they would come to a CUPS ritual to see what paganism was all about. And because of where I live, we used to have pretty fun, crazy Samhain rituals for Samhain. And so it was always, I always had to work with directors of religious education if they were bringing a group during Samhain, so that the young adults would know what they were getting in themselves into. So,
That's funny.
You know,
not every teenager understands
ancestors.
No, that's funny you say that. We had many, many years ago, someone who did it. We did a ritual and a meditation, and he took us to the underworld. And it was kind of gruesome, where people's flesh was and whatever. And the whole thing is, when you came back up and you opened your eyes, he had a skull he had put on the ritual table. And I got to tell you, that freaked some of my people out. So I have also learned.
That, I mean, we did one with the fates. Ours was the fates, and they would cut a rib, like randomly they would cut your ribbon. And explaining that ribbon didn't mean anything, but it meant something, and, you know, it was crazy. But, you know, young people are pretty resilient, and they ask a lot of questions, and they did, and they do. And so
and they explore.
I love great.
Well, girl, our time is almost up. Thank you so much. I know how busy you are, so I really want to thank you for taking time out to come and talk with us. And letting us know what's going on with Cups, and good luck in all your future endeavors.
Thanks. And I
let
just
us
want
know
when
your next book comes out.
I will. And anybody who's interested in Cups, they should just go to cups.org and, you know, take a wander through the website. There's a lot of information out there and all that sort of stuff.
And there's also, we have a Facebook group. So they can go to the Facebook group. And so, absolutely, there's lots of ways. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I also
thank
like to
you
thank,
so much.
I'd like to thank David, our technic, for his technical expertise during our show. And finally, I'd like to thank all of you out there, our listeners, for your continued support. Come back. The next Circle Talk will be Tuesday, October 6th. I will see you then. Good night, everybody, and blessed be.
One spirit in the dark, like a candle wavers. Many spirits joined as one, burn with the power of the blazing sun. There is strength in community, The circle empowering you and me. The circle binds yet sets us free. In the goddess name, so mote it be.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.